And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, I want to make mention of the fact that a good friend of mine, Rich Forrest, is in the hospital. And we hope he is up and around very soon. A lot of things we need to be doing. And him sitting in the hospital bed and getting them done. Now, I just had major surgery, so looks like everybody's got problems. Well, today's July 23rd, 204th day of the year. 161 days remain till the year's over with. On this day in 811, Byzantine Emperor Nikephoros the first plunders the Bulgarian capital of Pliska and captures Kankrum's treasury. $8.43. 1319, a Knights Hospitaller fleet scores a crushing victory over Adenide fleet of Chios. Knights Hospitaller were a group similar to the Templars. The Templars were the first. 1632, 300 colonists bound for New France depart from Dieppe in France. 1677, New France, by the way, was what we know as Canada. It was an area colonized by France in North America, beginning with the exploration of the Gulf of St. Lawrence by Jacques Cartier in 1534. Ended with the accession of New France to Great Britain and Spain in 1763 under the Treaty of Paris. The vast territory of New France consisted of five colonies at its peak in 1712. Each had its own government. There was Canada, the most developed, divided into the districts of Quebec, Trois-Rivières, and Montreal. There was Hudson Bay, Acadia in the northeast, Plaisance on the island of Newfoundland, and Lausanne. It extended from Newfoundland to the Canadian prairies and from the Hudson Bay to the Gulf of Mexico. Included all the Great Lakes of North America. 1677, the Scandinavian War. Denmark and Norway captures the harbor town of Marstrand from Sweden. 1793, the Kingdom of Prussia reconquers Mainz from France. 1813, Sir Thomas Maitland is appointed as the first governor of Malta. Transformed the island from a British protectorate to a de facto colony. 1821, while the Moro Rebellion continues, the Greeks capture Monemvasia Castle. Turkish troops and citizens are transferred to Asia Minor's coast. 1829. For those who I'm sure have not heard about the Moro Rebellion, that was actually the Greek War of Independence, also known as the Greek Revolution of 1821. It was a successful war of independence by Greek revolutionaries against the Ottoman Empire. Went from 1821 to 1829. Great Britain, France, and Russia got involved. Of course, the Ottomans were aided by their North American vassals, particularly the island of Egypt. This war led to the formation of modern Greece. 1829, in the U.S., William Austin Burke patents the typographer, a precursor to the typewriter. 1840, province of Canada is created by the Act of Union. 1862, American Civil War. Henry Halleck takes command of the Union Army. 1874, Arias de Ornelas e Vasconcelos is appointed the Archbishop of the Portuguese colonial enclave of Goa in India. 1881, the Boundary Treaty of 1881 between Chile and Argentina is signed in Buenos Aires. 1903, on this date, the Ford Motor Company sells its first car. 1908, the second constitution accepted by the Ottomans. 1914, Austria-Hungary issues a series of demands and an ultimatum to the Kingdom of Serbia, demanding Serbia to allow the Austrians to determine who assassinated Archduke Franz Ferdinand. And that was the Archduke and his wife were both shot while riding in a parade. Serbia accepts all but one of those demands, and Austria declares war July 28th. The Archduke was actually the heir to the throne. 1919, Prince Regent Alexander Karol Dedevic signs the decree establishing the University of Ljubljana. 1921, the Communist Party of China is established at the founding National Congress. 1926, another word for communism is just a monarchy, because that's pretty much how they're ruled. 1926, Fox Films buys the patents of the Movietone sound system for recording sound to film. 1927, the first station of the Indian Broadcasting Company goes on the air in Bombay. 1936, in Catalonia, Spain, United Socialist Party of Catalonia is founded through the merger of the Socialist and the Communist parties. 1940, the U.S. Under Secretary of State Sumner Wells issues a declaration on the U.S. non-recognition policy of the Soviet annexation and incorporation of three Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. 1942, World War II, German offensive Operation Edelweiss and Operation Brunswick begin. 1942, Bulgarian poet and communist leader Nikolai Vapsarov is executed by firing squad. Somebody did not like his poetry. 1943, the Raleigh Bath chair murder occurred in Raleigh, Essex, England. The victim was a man named Archibald Brown, 47 years old. He and his wife, Doris Lucy Brown, lived in London Hill in Raleigh, Essex, and had two sons, Eric and Colin. Due to a motorcycle accident, Archibald lost the use of his legs at the age of 24 and required the use of a bath chair and was cared for by three nurses. 1:45 p.m. on Friday, 23rd of July, 1943, nurse Doris Irene Mitchell went on to the air raid shelter where Brown's bath chair was kept. She found the door was locked from the inside and went and got Ms. Brown, and they met Eric Brown, who was 19, coming out. Eric was irritated and evasive. Both women took the wheelchair to the house and helped Archibald to get in. Archibald was dressed in pajamas and a dressing gown and was covered with a plaid traveling rug. Mitchell, the nurse, took Archibald Brown out of the house. After walking for about a mile, Brown had shifted his weight apparently while feeling for a cigarette in his pocket. Mitchell, having stopped to light the cigarette, returned to the back of the chair and pushed it forward. Within a half a dozen paces, there was a violent explosion. Mitchell suffered leg injuries, and as far as you could see, Brown and his bath chair were completely vaporized. The police found portions of the body at the side of the road and in the trees and gardens nearby. Now, enemy action, this was the World War II era, was ruled out as the cause of the explosion. Experts found the cause of the explosion to be a British Hawkins grenade, a type of anti-tank mine. It's detonated when an acid-filled glass ampule is broken. The device had been placed under the bath chair's cushion. A former murder investigation was opened. Doris Brown was interviewed at length at Raleigh Police Station. It came out, although Archibald Brown had been crippled and unable to walk, his willpower was undiminished. He ruled his wife and elder son with a firm hand. His wife wasn't allowed to visit her mother nearby Roquefort, and Archibald Brown would constantly ring a bell to get his wife's attention, even if he perceived a single flower was out of place in a vase. Eric Brown was constantly beaten and humiliated. Doris Brown stated her husband had been increasingly appeared to take a dislike to her. And Eric had also noticed a deterioration in Archibald's behavior. But it turns out he had a liking for his new nurse, Doris Irene Mitchell, and their walks together. So, At the arrest and trial, the blame fell on Eric. He'd previously attended lectures on the same type of mine used in the murder and had joined the British Army some years before, so he had access to a weapon store in Spilsby. Eventually, Eric confessed, in which he blamed his actions on Archibald Brown's abusive attitude toward both him and his mother. September 21st, 1943, he was committed to trial at the Essex Assizes. Trial began November 4th. Eric Brown was tried at the Shower Hall in Chelmsford and declared insane. He was released in 1975, having been locked up until... When you're declared insane and locked up because of that insanity, it's at the Queen's pleasure. You can be released anytime. Okay. World War II. The British destroyer HMS Eclipse and HMS Lefroy sink the Italian submarine Cianghi in the Mediterranean after she torpedoes the cruiser HMS Newfoundland. 1945, the post-war legal processes against Philip Pétain began. He was the ruler of Vichy France. He was looked at as a traitor by his fellow Frenchmen. 1952, General Mohamed Ngoy leads the Free Officers Movement, which had been formed by Colonel Gamal Abdel Nasser, the real power behind the coup. They overthrew King Farouk I of Egypt. Nasser became ruler of Egypt. In 1961, the Sandinista National Liberation Front is founded in Nicaragua. 1962, Telstar relays the first publicly transmitted live transatlantic television program. It featured Walter Cronkite. 1962, the International Agreement on the Neutrality of Laos is signed. Also in 62, Jackie Robinson becomes the first African American to be included in the National Baseball Hall of Fame. 1967 was the Detroit riots. In Detroit, one of the worst riots in U.S. history begins on 12th Street in a predominantly African American inner city. Ultimately, 43 people are killed, 342 are injured, and 1,400 buildings are burned. 1968, Glenville shootout. In Cleveland, Ohio, a violent shootout between a black militant organization and the Cleveland Police Department occurs. During the shootout, a riot begins and lasts for 5 days. Nobody really knew what they were rioting about, but it was fun to get out there and do it. In 1968, the only successful hijacking of an LL aircraft takes place when a Boeing 707 carrying a crew of 10 and 38 passengers is taken over by three members of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. The aircraft was en route from Rome to Lod in Israel. Well... Qaboos bin Said al-Said becomes Sultan of Oman after overthrowing his father, Said bin Talmur. It initiated massive reforms, modernization programs, and ended in a decade-long civil war. 1972, the U.S. launches Landsat 1, the first Earth Resources satellite. 1974, the Greek military junta collapses, and the former Prime Minister Konstantinos Karamanlis is invited to lead the new government. This began Greece's Metropolitan era. 1980, Pham Thuan becomes the first Vietnamese citizen, first Asian in space when he flies aboard Soyuz 37 mission as an intercosmos research cosmonaut. 1982, outside Santa Clarita, California, actor Vic Morrow and two children are killed when a helicopter crashes on top of him while shooting a scene from Twilight Zone, the movie. If you remember Vic Morrow, he played Sergeant Vic Saunders in Combat for many years. 1983, 13 Sri Lankan army soldiers are killed after a deadly ambush by the militant Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam. Also in 1983, Gimli Glider, Air Canada Flight 143, runs out of fuel, makes a dead stick landing in Gimli, Manitoba. They were referring to the fact that the plane actually glided in for a landing. 1988, General Nguyen, effective rule of Burma since 1962, resigns after pro-democracy protest. 1992, a Vatican commission led by Joseph Ratzinger establishes that limiting certain rights of homosexual people and non-married couples is not equivalent to discrimination on grounds of race or gender. I have a problem with that, but that's just me. 1992, Abkhazia declares independence from Georgia. 1995, Comet Hale-Bopp is discovered. Becomes visible to the naked eye on Earth in 1996. 1997, Digital Equipment Corporation files antitrust charges against chip maker Intel. 1999, ANA Flight 61 is hijacked in Tokyo, Japan by Yuji Nishizawa. 1999, Space Shuttle Columbia launches on STS-93 with Eileen Collins, becoming the first female space shuttle commander. Shuttle also carried and deployed the Chandra X-ray Observatory. 2005, three bombs explode in the Amma Bay area of Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. Kills 88 people. 2010, English-Irish boy band One Direction is formed by Judd Simon Cowell on The X Factor, and that's British Series 7. Later goes on to finish in third place, going to become one of the biggest boy bands in the world, and be very influential on pop music in the 2010 era. 2012, the solar storm of 2012, it was an unusually large coronal mass ejection that was emitted by the sun, which barely missed the Earth by 9 days. If it had hit, it's estimated to have caused up to $2.6 trillion in damages to electrical equipment worldwide. 2014, TransAsia Airways Flight 222 crashes in Zizi Village near Huxi in Penghu during an approach to Penghu Airport. 48 of the 58 people on board are killed and 5 more on the ground are injured. 2015, NASA announces discovery of Kepler 452b by Kepler. 2016, Kabul twin bombing occurred in the vicinity of Daymazang when protesters, mostly from the Shiite Hazara minority, were marching against route changing of the Tutap power project. At least 80 people were killed and 260 were injured. 2018, there was a wildfire in East Attica, Greece, causing the death of 102 people. Deadliest wildfire in the history of Greece and the second deadliest in the world in the 21st century. That was after the 2009 brush fires in Australia that killed 180. Now, there's a large number of births and deaths on this date in history. Far too many to go into. Holidays and observances, the birthday of Haile Selassie and Rastafari. Children's Day in Indonesia. Christian Feast Day, Bridget of Sweden. Hero Martyr Pocus in the East Orthodox Church. John Cassian in the Western Christianity. Laborious of Le Mans, Margarita Maria, Monsi Prat, I Prat, Rasifus and Ravinus, National Remembrance Day in Papua New Guinea, Renaissance Day in Oman, and Revolution Day in Egypt. Yes, we must remember our revolutions. In 1715, the first lighthouse in America was authorized for construction at Little Brewster Island in Massachusetts. 1827, the first swimming school in the U.S. opened in Boston. 1877, the first municipal railroad passenger service began in Cincinnati, Ohio. 1886, Steve Brody, New York saloon keeper, claimed to have made a daredevil plunge from the Brooklyn Bridge into the East River. 1904, which is a day that will go down in history. The ice cream cone was invented by Charles Mintz. during the Louisiana Purchase Exposition in St. Louis, Missouri. 1914, Austria-Hungary issued an ultimatum to Serbia following the killing of Archduke Francis Ferdinand by a Serb assassin. This disagreement led to World War I and the death of millions of people. 1938, the first federal game preserve was approved by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services. It was 2,000 acres in Utah. 1945, the first passenger train observation car was put in service by the Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy Railroad. 1954, a law was passed that stated the Secretary of the Navy is authorized to repair, equip, and restore United States ship Constitution as far as might be practical to her original appearance, but not for active service. And thereafter, it's to be maintained at Boston, Massachusetts. 1958, submarine Nautilus departed from Pearl Harbor under orders to conduct Operation Sunshine. And mission was to be the first vessel to cross the North Pole by ship. They achieved that goal August 3rd, 1958. 1984, Miss America Vanessa Williams turned in her crown after being discovered in nude photos of her that appeared in Penthouse magazine. She was the very first person to resign the title. 1985, Commodore unveiled the personal computer, the Amiga 1000, on this day in 1985. 1986, on this date, Britain's Prince Andrew married Sarah Ferguson at Westminster Abbey. They divorced in 1996. 1998, scientists at the University of Hawaii turned out more than 50 carbon copy mice, as if we needed more. They did it with a cloning technique. Well, we have finished our little history segment. You know, there have been a lot of military encounters with extraterrestrials, most of which have been downplayed by our government because they didn't want to admit there was something we couldn't deal with. Now, interestingly enough, the Russians have had their own issues with aliens. At 8:12 in the morning, August 17, 1954, somebody was jamming the radar receivers of an aircraft unit guarding a missile battalion very close to the Chinese border. Now, it wasn't thought the Chinese had that capability. A few minutes later, an object resembling a rocket was observed, but it had no stabilizers and moved horizontally at a low speed. In fact, it was said by all that saw it, its movements resembled that of a dirigible. The Russians fired three missiles at it. They exploded before reaching the target. After that, the object ascended and disappeared into the sky. Well, since the Russians officially don't believe in UFOs, the commanding officer of the missile battalion was removed from his position because they decided there was no reason to having fired the missiles. Now, various USSR Air Force orders prior to 1977 absolutely forbid any contacts with UFOs. So how can you forbid contact with something you don't officially admit exists? The subsequent military order regarding these objects will be summed up pretty much as there must be no reaction to Russian flying saucers, period. A number of people have affirmed this admonition. There was an order issued to the pilots that told them not to fire on any UFOs. According to General of the Army Ivan Tretyak, order was issued because such an object may possess formidable capabilities for retaliation. Okay, it doesn't exist, and you're not supposed to shoot it because it might blow us up. Makes sense. That suggests there'd been a history of Soviet fighters attempting to engage UFOs in battle, and at some point there'd been retaliation.
Now, had such a circumstance not happened, there would have been no reason to issue that order. Now, Moscow authorities were anxious to avoid any military clash with the off-world vehicles, which had often demonstrated their vast technological superiority over anything the Russians had. Provoking an incident with them might lead to consequences of the worst kind. At least where extraterrestrials were concerned, the communists sincerely believed in peaceful coexistence. They're willing to blow us up, even though they know we'll blow them up, but they don't want to mess with the UFOs. Now, the flying saucer flap of 1952 at the nation's capital played itself out again in 1954. But this time, there were some more serious consequences. 3 hours after hundreds of people watched in awe at a formation of UFOs passing with impunity over downtown Washington, D.C., on the evening of October 28, 1954, a pair of large patrol planes flying out of Norfolk, Virginia, that's 170 miles away, vanished offshore into the night. In their last radio messages, the pilots of both aircraft reported no trouble of any kind. Search and rescue missions undertaken by Navy surface and air units over the next 3 weeks discovered neither survivors nor wreckage, even though the disappearance took place not far out over the Atlantic Ocean. In fact, it was only a few miles from the East Coast. The two 32-ton Neptunes with their 22 airmen had utterly vanished without a trace. These were examples of the Lockheed P-2 that had searched for Transocean Airlines Flight 512 the previous year. And earlier on that same evening in 1954, a U.S. Navy pilot was rescued after ditching his fighter plane at sea for an undisclosed cause 5 miles outside Norfolk. That was in the general vicinity where both patrol planes were lost shortly after that. Morning of April 5th, 1955, several dozen people in northern Illinois reported a brightly lit orb traveling the 10 miles between Rockford and Cherry Valley, which is 76 miles northwest of Chicago. Shortly after 9:30, a trio of F-86 were seen in pursuit of the UFO. This encounter was observed by numerous people on the ground, including John Gregory, executive secretary of the Winnebago County Civil Defense Council. He was standing on top of the City Hall building watching. He saw another flat, spherical, brilliant white object fly past the Air Force interceptors, which attacked the first target with a combined firepower of 18 12.7-millimeter Browning machine guns. The spheroid instantaneously detonated in a thundering blast of flame as the companion swiftly escaped through a vertical loop and climbed far beyond the top speed or maneuverability of the Sabre jets. And before they raced away, Gregory saw them circle the empty patch of sky from which tiny pieces of the disintegrated UFO sprinkled earthward. Reports of his mind-blowing action was embargoed by the entire Chicago press, but it was covered in Rockford's small circulation register newspaper. According to the story, the jets were from O'Hara Field and Park Ridge. Air Force officials in the field said there was a weather balloon was sent up from Minneapolis. That's always the excuse whenever something is seen in the sky. It's a weather balloon. That's what they said about Roswell. It's a weather balloon. No mention is made of the bright white object Gregory and others saw streak past the fighters. Nor did anybody call into question the preposterous explanation that a weather balloon had been brought down in flames as hot machine gun rounds were fired over a populated area. A more unique skirmish occurred 6 years later in early 1961 when an off-world craft that had been buzzing around northern Europe for some weeks was finally intercepted by a pair of Saab J-29Fs from the Swedish Air Force. Both pilots made visual contact with the silvery disc, from whose underside burned a wide mass of flame, disgorging long, thick billows of ash and smoke. The flying barrels, as they were called, eventually gained on the UFO to come within firing range, just before their 75-millimeter air-to-air missiles and combined 8 20-millimeter Hispano Mark V autocannons could be brought into play. The target suddenly shot a trailing line of green, slimy goo in the direction of its pursuers. The Saab jets executed an evasive maneuver, and a metallic disc flew off at several times the jet's maximum speed of 660 miles per hour.
The most extraordinary and deadly extraterrestrial confrontation of the 60s comprised a series of disasters at sea in which four submarines from different nations were lost in as many months at the cost of 318 lives. Never before or since have so many underwater vessels been destroyed during peacetime in such a brief period. January 9, 1968, Israel's newly purchased submarine Dakar, which is Hebrew for swordfish, left Portsmouth, England, under the command of Major Yaakov Ronanin. 16 days later, he informed Tel Aviv Naval Headquarters he had entered the Aegean Sea earlier than expected. The vessel was performing satisfactory and all aboard were well. Nothing further was heard from the vessel until January 27th when a radio station in Nicosia received a distress call southeast of Cyprus on the frequency that Dakar's emergency buoy, which broke off from the submarine, dove rapidly through her maximum depth and suffered a catastrophic hull rupture and continued her plunge to the bottom, which was at 9,800 feet. The emergency buoy was released by the violence of the hull collapse, according to Wikipedia. All 69 men on board the ship perished. Despite a five-nation search for the vessel, its wreckage between the islands of Cyprus and Crete wasn't located for more than 30 years. Her conning tower was snapped off and fallen over the side. The stern of the submarine with the propeller and dive planes broke off after the engine room and test and rest besides the main hull. So you have to ask yourself, what could cause such extensive damages? And we have no idea. The Dakar evidenced no sign of having experienced an explosion. It's like something just broke it in half. The same day the Dakar was destroyed, another submarine was lost 1,560 miles away. At 7:55 a.m., Lieutenant André Favre, commanding the French vessel Minerva, routinely notified his air escort, a Brigade BR-1150 Atlantic Maritime Patrol plane, he would arrive in Toulon in about an hour. Now, he was among the Marine Nationale's most experienced submariners. He had over 4 years and more than 7,000 hours under the water. Just 25 nautical miles from the south coast of France, the Minerva, along with her 52 crewmen, vanished without a trace. They've not been seen since, despite intense year-long searches undertaken by French and U.S. naval units, including the renowned oceanographer Jacques Cousteau. Nor had any of the airmen flying the escorting brigade observed anything at the time that suggested an explosion or anything out of the ordinary in the vicinity of the submarine. It just literally ceased to exist. Following February 24th, K-129, a 330-foot-long, 2,700-ton Russian submarine reached deep water in the Central Pacific Ocean, successfully conducted its test dive, and came back to the surface. Captain First Rank V.I. Kobzar reported by radio everything was well and proceeded on his patrol. After that broadcast, he and the other 97 men on board were never heard from again. Soviet Navy deployed a huge flotilla of search and rescue ships, but they couldn't find the K-129. Now, we did. On March 8th, after monitoring an underwater acoustic signal, the isolated single sound of an explosion or implosion led him to the wreck, lying approximately 600 nautical miles north of Midway Atoll. It was between 16,440 and 16,500 feet down. Although U.S. Navy salvagers retrieved some or most of K-129, they couldn't determine the cause of its destruction. Subsequent theory suggested a hydrogen explosion in the batteries while charging, maybe a collision with an American submarine, or a leaking missile door seal, even mutiny. But each and every theory was discarded as unlikely. Now the question is, where was the submarine in the interim between its last message and when it was found? May 22nd, Commander Francis Slattery, the American submarine Scorpion, radioed his position at 400 nautical miles southwest of the Azores, and he's running at a steady 15 knots, 350 feet beneath the surface of the North Atlantic. After that report, nothing further was heard from the 99 officers and crew.
After the Scorpion's broken wreckage was found at a depth of 9,800 feet, structural analysis group physicists concluded that an explosive event was very unlikely to have caused the sinking because of the absence of a bubble pulse, which invariably occurs in an underwater blast. And that was absolute evidence that no torpedo explosion occurred outside or inside the vessel. Up to that point, a Russian attack had been suspected, especially in view of Commander Slattery's last message that indicated he was about to begin surveillance of the Soviets. However, a Navy Court of Inquiry determined that the Russian naval units were too far removed from the Scorpion's position to have intercepted her. So the court finally decided the certain cause of the loss of the Scorpion can't be ascertained from the evidence now available. For undersea disasters that occurred during the first half of 1968 are more common than a shared time frame, although it was particularly remarkable that the Dakar and the Minerva both succumbed on the same day. Probabilities against such a coincidence are astronomical, especially when one factors in two more such calamities within the next 17 weeks. And the Minerva's complete disappearance, a mere 25 nautical miles off the French coast in calm, clear conditions, while being escorted by 10 observers aboard a low-flying aircraft, was not only unique in all history, but utterly inexplicable and probably impossible. Her fate was no less baffling, though, than that of the other three doomed vessels. The causes for their demises were equally eluded all investigating naval authorities. Nevertheless, even after the passage of more than 50 years, clues exist in parallels among the submarines themselves. Each one was unusually ahead of its time and beyond the technological level of other submarines. In fact, there were the leading undersea warships of their time. The Dakar had been outfitted with a new radar detection system and not yet been tested. Lieutenant Colonel Benny Maimon, the engineer who developed it, was on board with his advanced equipment, which was never recovered from the wreck. The Minerva was an experimental missile carrying submarine, and the U.S. Navy's Scorpion specialized in developing nuclear submarine warfare tactics. In fact, the submarine entered an inland Russian sea during a northern run in 1966, where it filmed a Soviet missile launch through its periscope before it fled from Soviet Navy ships. The K-129 carried an undetermined number of innovative SSN-5 Serb rockets capable of lofting 1 megaton nuclear warheads more than 1,000 miles. In fact, it was the existence of these superior weapons aboard the sunken K-129 that prompted the CIA to covertly salvage the Soviet submarine. But the singular capabilities of these warships appears to have engaged the interest of more than the CIA. On the dates they were lost, a dozen UFO sightings, most of them made at or near large bodies of water, were reported worldwide. Somebody or something was keeping an eye on everything. January 27th, the day the Dakar and Minerva sank, a married couple walking along the southeast Florida shore of Lantana, just north of Miami, saw a flying disc at low altitude in clear weather not far out over the Atlantic. This was about 2 in the morning. Beginning at 4:40 that same morning, Knoxville, Tennessee police got telephone calls from 9 witnesses describing a similar object hovering over the city. About 6 in the morning, Keats Island residents off the coast of British Columbia reported seeing a white star-like craft make 2 wide spirals that zigzag parallel to Earth. After it changed color to yellow, then pink, it faded into the distance. 2 hours later, an object larger than a star was observed above San Antonio, Texas. Electromagnetic effects, television, radio, and telephone interference were also noted. 5:12 in the morning, p.m., a flying disc was sighted that had an appearance and performance beyond the capability of known earthly aircraft, and it was seen by 5 witnesses from a building in downtown Millington, southeast Michigan, on Lake Huron. Around 9 that evening in Modesto, Central California, 70 miles from the Pacific Ocean, an object the size of the moon as it appeared in the night sky was sighted that had the appearance and performed beyond the capability of any known earthly aircraft. It was observed for 12 seconds by a man standing in his own backyard. On March 8th, as the K-129 went down, a flying disc was observed by 3 witnesses for 5 minutes over Syracuse, New York.
That's 34 miles from Lake Ontario at 2:45 p.m. At 10 p.m., a single witness reported a trio of similarly disc-shaped objects flying over Rossington in east-central England, 30 miles from the coast. Now, is there a direct correlation between these observed aircraft and the vanished submarines? Not a direct one, but the fact that there was a lot of activity does raise interesting questions. An aerial disc larger than a star was observed by two witnesses for 2 minutes in Sherman Oaks, California, 10 miles from the Pacific Ocean at 11:40 in the morning of May 22nd. That was when the USS Scorpion disappeared. That evening at 7:40, three-cylinder-shaped UFOs flew to the south of Bălești in Romania, emitting a strong light. A fourth object joined them, and then they all vanished. Another of the same three objects were observed by one witness for 12 seconds at 10:22 p.m. over Greenwood, South Carolina. So you have to ask yourself, what's all this activity? Is it related to the vanishing of our most advanced underwater vessels? Well, as I've said, I've had surgery on my spine, which affected my vocal cords. I think I've about had it for this particular show. We'll be back on Monday when, once again, you'll be listening to the Ken Hudnall Show. We'll be talking about more military encounters with extraterrestrials. Till then, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.